I'll tell you what, it's good to come and worship the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning as we get prepared. If you want to follow along with, there's going to be a bulletin in your outline in your bulletin this morning. You can bring up YouVersion on your devices if you want, and there'll be an outline there for you to follow along, because I want to talk to you today about what it means when we're talking about the heart of the King, what it means for Him to be our shepherd. Now, there's something to be said, and it's so powerful. We're going to look at two different scriptures, so you can turn there to John chapter 10 and Psalms 23. Okay, you can put your finger in both places. We're gonna flip back and forth. And there's something that I wanted to revisit. Men of God, when you've been at your meeting, some of this may sound a little bit familiar, because what I heard and what started to quicken in my heart sparked something there where I just started hearing about God as our shepherd in a new light. Now, many of us maybe could quote the 23rd Psalm, but more than quoting the 23rd Psalm and knowing that you have a shepherd that's good, my question is, how does that affect your life because of His goodness? That's what makes all the difference in the world. So we're going to take a moment and we're going to look at that. What does it mean to have the Lord as our shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Can we say that with real confidence? You know, when I do funerals, many times I'll go back to Psalms 23, and I learned this because I always heard my dad say it. The Lord is my shepherd. Those first three words, everyone believes the Lord is. But it's the next ones that are all important, right? Is He your shepherd? And what I want to ask is if you'll take every preconceived thought, notion, idea of, oh, we're going to talk about the shepherd, I got this. You know, I memorized Psalms 23, and I know God is good all the time, God is good, right? But what I want to do is, what does that mean to us specifically? In the Bible's full of wisdom and guidance. Can we agree on that? Ooh, that was kind of weak. In the Bible's full of wisdom and guidance. Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. And it gives us wisdom, teaches us about grace and mercy. The Bible also talks about correction, obedience, disobedience, consequences, many different things. Here's one of the things the Bible does is it also depicts what the church is to be. And it's three things. I don't believe these are in your outlines, but it depicts it as a family, as a fellowship, and as a flock. Those three things. If you look in the Bible, you're going to find many times that the Word of God depicts the church or says that the church is to be family, it's to be there for fellowship, and that we are a flock. I'll talk about what I mean by flock more so as we move along here. In the Bible, it talks many times about sheep and shepherd, and sometimes we can read that and it can feel good, but how do we apply that? What does that mean to us? As a matter of fact, in Psalms 100, verse 3, I believe it's up on the screens here, let's read that one together, okay? You ready? Go. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're the sheep of His pasture. Now, we're going to talk about sheep here in just a minute, okay? But let's clear this up. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Look over at John chapter 10. And let's take a moment and look at that, because there's something that, when we look at John chapter 10, verse 10, most of us, you know, can quote that verse, and this is where we go, oh yeah, I remember this one. This is where the whole, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give us life and more abundantly, right? And many times we stop right there, and that's it. But we need to read the next all-important verses. I'm gonna read John chapter 10, verse 10. So we're going to include that, but here's what it says. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Now verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I, Jesus says, am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. Now, those are some very important portions of Scripture. Because he talks about the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God gives life. And then he goes on to say, so I want to make it very clear. I, Jesus, am the good shepherd. You are the sheep. The sheep are to follow the shepherd. But how many times has God spoken to you and you've chosen not to follow his direction only to regret it later? It happens, doesn't it? He tells us very clearly about the part that he plays. Now, what does that mean to us? You see, he's calling us sheep in the Bible, right? I got to tell you something about sheep. let's just kind of get real. Sheep, they're not the brightest bulb in the package, right? Okay. They're not the sharpest crayon in the box, if you will. They need somebody to lead them. They need somebody that's going to help them along the way. Now, I'm not saying that God is saying, you are sheep. You guys, you are not the brightest bulb in the package. No, I'm not saying that at all. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. He says, I've given you, he's got vision for us. He's got a direction and a plan for our life. You and I, we've been fearfully and wonderfully made by God himself. But he said, but I created you to be sheep that are in need of a shepherd. We've been created that way. You see, here's something about sheep that I've learned. And I don't know everything about sheep. I'm not a shepherd. I don't have a few of them in my backyard, and I know how all this works. But I did take some time, and I went over to AgriKing, and I visited over there because they had some sheep over there. And I'm going to tell a few stories. I said first service, I didn't ask Benga's permission, so I'll ask for forgiveness later. But but I said, Benga, can I come over and hang out with the sheep? And he's like, yeah. I just want to kind of, how better to learn than to actually be with sheep, right? You know, he's calling us sheep, so I want to go see what the sheep are like. I'm going to tell you this right now. I recognized the sheep's presence before I ever saw them because I smelled them. Sheep stink. You know, I got close. And I was like, whoo, man, what is, oh no, that's the sheep that I said I want to hang out with. Sheep stink. And there's going to be areas in life where we're going to say, you probably said this, man, life stinks. You ever said that? Life stinks. Maybe it's not that life stinks, but maybe it's just the sin nature that we're in. Maybe it's because of choices we've made. For whatever reason, we need a shepherd. Sheep, they need somebody to intercede for them when they butt heads. Now, I did not see this over there, but I did do a little bit of reading and reading back about some shepherds back over, you know, Jerusalem, Israel, where they're leading the sheep. And they would talk about how at times that sheep would butt heads with other sheep. Bam, bam. And you know why? Because sheep are stubborn. Remember, we are called his sheep. Is that hitting home for you yet? And I know none of us are stubborn, but the other people out there, they may be. We can be stubborn. Here's what happens. When two sheep start to bat heads and bump heads, here's what a shepherd will do. He will come when he recognizes the butting of heads, and he will apply an oil upon their head, so that way when they still continue to butt heads, then all of a sudden because of the oil, they'll just slide off. They'll butt heads, and they'll still maybe be butting heads, but because of the anointing that's been applied upon their head, there will be a glancing off more than there will be a direct blow. How does that happen? When a shepherd steps in. See, we're sheep, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be pretty darn stubborn. Maybe not. Maybe so. I was waiting for y'all to say, no, you're not, but everyone just kind of went, amen. I can be stubborn when I want to be. And when we get stubborn sometimes, we can butt heads with one another. And when we butt heads, all you're concerned with is who wins. What you need to be concerned, and what I need to be concerned with, is where is the shepherd in the midst of this? And what is he saying and speaking to me? Here's another thing about sheep. When sheep are injured or hurt, they need a shepherd. Have you ever seen a sheep that has broken his leg or bummed up his arm or broken ear or whatever can happen to sheep? Do you ever see another sheep come up and kind of put the other sheep's arm around him and walk him, you know, to the shepherd? No, that doesn't happen. Another sheep doesn't come over and firemen carry the other sheep that's injured and waddle him back to the farm. That doesn't happen. When a sheep is injured, He's done for if nobody intercedes. Sheep need a shepherd. I'll tell you this, when you're going through life and life hurts, and when something breaks, and when there just seems to be like things are falling apart, you can look around at all the other sheep and expect them to step in, but when they don't, you can be hurt and even more angry about it. But the issue is this, that is where the shepherd is to step in. Here's another thing about sheep. I see this with horses too, and cows and other animals. They get a lot of bugs, especially flies, that buzz around their eyes. You ever notice that? You go visit and you'll see a cow out in the back, and he's just sitting there chewing away while he's got 35 bugs on his eye. And it annoys me because I'm one of those eye people. You know what I mean? If Lisa gets out that little pencil to put her eyeliner on or whatever, I'll be like, oh, I got to walk out of the room. My eyes will start to water. I can't handle that. I actually considered LASIK surgery at one point. I thought, this won't be bad. Man up, Jim. Come on, grow up. Put your big boy pants on. You can do this. Because I just got done talking to a deputy who had LASIK surgery, and he said, oh, it was a breeze. No problem. Piece of cake. You don't even notice. So I went home, and I looked up on YouTube what LASIK surgery looks like. Oh, my gosh. That was a mistake. I saw that thing, and I was like, ah! I mean, I was all contorted and hitting the computer, shutting the button off. And my eyes, to get all those bugs in there, it would drive me nuts. So I'm reading about how at times what will happen if a shepherd doesn't pay attention to the sheep and what's going on, those flies can get in the eyes and they can cause an infection. Or they can lay eggs because there's all that moisture that's going on. What's a sheep going to do? Raise its foot up there and bat them away? So they can't do that. What do they need? They need a shepherd. Because without a shepherd, by the way, the enemy has a name, and one of his names is called the Lord of the Flies. Called the Lord of the Flies. And there's nothing more that the enemy would like to do than to come at a point in your life where you're trying to experience vision, and he wants to bring an infection. He wants to limit what you can see and what you can do. He wants to lay a few eggs, if I could go ahead and say it that way, that just bring and birth destruction and more infection into your life. That's why you and I, spiritually, we need a shepherd. There's one more thing that I noticed about sheep. I don't know if this is good or bad. Really, I guess it depends on the motive. So when I was over at AgriKing, Benga had shared, he said, you want to know something interesting about sheep? I said, yeah. And he said, if you take a broom or a handle of any sorts, and you were to lay it down, sheep are going to get scared, right? When you enter in, that was one of the other things I noticed. Sheep, when I enter the room, they're all freaking out, nervous and that. You ever feel that way? Anxiety gets a hold of you, and all of a sudden you don't know what to do. If you've got anxiety, don't mark it up. Now, I'm not saying that disorders are fake. I'm saying that if you're feeling anxious about anything, you need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. Well, no, Pastor, I need more help beyond that. Maybe, but it starts with the shepherd. It starts there. So they're all anxious in the room, and they're all jittery. And he said, we would take and he tried to get them to do this, but I don't believe they did it. And he said, but he did this when he was a boy and thought it was hilarious, and so did I. Take that broom or that rake, and he'd move them back into a corner. And eventually, these sheep would back up. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then all of a sudden, when that broom got so far, one of the sheep would eventually jump over it. And when it would jump over it, the next sheep would jump over following the first sheep. He saw the first sheep and went, dude, work for him? I'm going. And when he went, the next sheep went. And then the next sheep went. And eventually, after four or five or six went by, they would pull the broom out or the handle of whatever sorts. And there was no obstacle there any longer. But every sheep after that would jump. Why? Because that's all they saw the next sheep do. I don't know why he's jumping, but something bad must be there, so I'm going to jump too. And so that's the way that they would work. They were followers, but the question is, who's leading them? Do they follow the shepherd, or are they just following the other sheep? Do you get where I'm going with this? In life, there's going to be obstacles that you won't even be able to see, that aren't even really real, that aren't even there, but you're jumping out of fear. Panic, anxiety, because that's what the world has told you to do. It said everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is afraid. When the shepherd would come in and say, but there's nothing there to be afraid of. We'll get into that more in just a moment. Sheep need a shepherd, and so do we. So if we need a shepherd, I would pose to you that God is the best shepherd we could ever have. I want to look at Psalms 23. If you've got that, go ahead and take a look there. Maybe some of you here today can quote it from memory. And I encourage you, memorize it. It's six verses. It's not that long. But let me just read it so we can get this into our hearts. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, there's a few things that we need to learn about him being our shepherd. I'm going to share with you 3 points, and under that is just going to be 3 sub-points, okay? And as I said, some of this may be a little familiar, but it was such good content that I believe we need to catch it in our hearts. Number one, write this down: for him being our shepherd, know this, it means that he is our provider. He is our provider. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. And what it means is this: it means I shall not lack anything. I shall not lack. I shall not lack because he is my shepherd. He is my provider. So David is the author of this psalm, and he writes the 23rd Psalm saying, "The Lord is our provider." Now, he may not give us everything we want, but he does provide for our needs. You can want a lot of things. I can want a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that I need all of the things that I want. God is the one that provides for us. He'll open a door and create a way. How does he do this? Well, in those 3 little sub-points, letter A, write down, he makes. Write down, he makes. I'm just taking this right out of Psalms 23. Verse 2 says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Here in the Bible, David talks about 2 things. He talks about green pastures, and he talks about still waters. Green pastures and still waters, those are good things. Those are not bad things. If you're a sheep, you want green pastures. You know why? Because that's your food source. That's what you're to eat. And then it says that there's still waters, and he leads me beside the still waters. Why didn't he just say, "He leads me beside the waters"? Because he knows that sheep get spooked easily. It just takes a little noise, a little bit of rustle, and they're spooked. That's why he says, "I know you well enough as my sheep that I'm going to lead you not just by waters, but by still waters, peaceful waters, calm waters." David points out the importance of this, and every believer should have these 2 qualities functioning in their life, and that's contentment and peace. Contentment and peace. This is one of the reasons why we gather together at church. This is why we gather together to worship as believers, so that we can be beside the still waters in an atmosphere of worship, and so we can eat of the green pasture, the Word of God, what he has to speak to you and to me today. And just as the shepherd leads the sheep as a group, you and I, we're together, gathered together as a body of believers. Family, fellowship, flock. We're to gather together to fellowship, to worship him. That's always the goal. So just as we do that and worship him, he says, gather together. We become better together. We grow. So I challenge you. Now, hear my heart on this. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to explain it. My challenge is for you to not become an internet believer. You know what I mean? I have nothing against technology. I love technology. I use technology. We, Church of the Open Door, use technology. But don't become an internet believer. Don't place your faith based upon what social media demands. Place your faith based upon what the Holy Spirit says and what our shepherd is saying to us and how he leads us. There's nothing wrong with listening to preachers and teachers online. Don't get me wrong. If you're doing that, keep on doing that. But don't neglect coming together as the body of Christ. Because when we come together, there's something significant that happens in the presence of God. His presence just shows up in a mighty way. You know, like I said, we use it. When we're done with this message, it's eventually going to be on YouTube. It's eventually going to make its way to Facebook. It's eventually going to be somehow connected to the website. It's eventually going to go on television. See, we use the means that God provides, but we don't let the means become the main focus of where our faith is built. Our faith is built as we gather together. So, He will make us lie down in green pastures. We need to come together and do that because something significant happens. Here's what happens. You can be in the middle of a storm right now that you're going through, and then you worship. And when you worship, that storm calms down, even if it's just for a few moments. Now, I know what you're thinking because I think the same way. I've got a storm in my life, but I come and how great is our God? And oh man, I'm feeling pretty good. Church is over and I'm back to that storm. Or I feel like I'm hindered from entering into worship. There is nothing, by the way, that hinders you from worshiping the Lord. Do you know that? Nothing hinders you. The only thing that will hinder you is you. And so don't let yourself buy into that lie that says, I can't step into my presence of the Lord or into the presence of the Lord and worship Him because I know this is going on. I would pose this question to you. Because you know this is going on, you need to step into the presence of the Lord. I can't step into the presence of the Lord because even if I do, I know I have to step back out of it and go back into the real world. Yep, welcome to life. But He's a good shepherd and He will lead you and He will guide you through whatever it is you go through. And sometimes the way He does that is He makes you lie down. Do you remember as a child when let me ask the question. Has anyone ever had to make you lie down? Think about that. No, nobody can make me lie down. I didn't say are they able to or not. Has anyone tried to, a doctor, you need to take a few weeks off work. You need to slow down. You need to change your occupation because what you're doing right now is too much. You need to lie down. Now, the doctor didn't say lie down, but that's basically what he said. To your husband or your wife, you need to lie down. You're too busy. We're not connecting. And you need to hear that. None of us are perfect, and we're going to miss it at times. But do you go back to the shepherd and say, what do you say? As a child, maybe you were that child, cranky, tired. And all of a sudden, your parents said, nap time. You know what I'm talking about? And as a parent, you knew it was time for the child to take the nap because they were crying and cranky and they were fussing and you knew that they needed to sleep. You were going to make them lie down. Why? Because you knew once they got back up, the whole atmosphere would change because rest had come to that child. Sometimes God's going to make you and I lie down. You may not like it. I don't when God does that to me, but my main concern is this. What am I not seeing that I need to see? What am I not hearing that I need to hear? What is it that you're trying to show me? If you can ask those kind of questions, the shepherd's going to reveal them to you. Here's the other thing he'll do. Letter B, he restores. Psalms 23 says that he restores my soul. Do you remember a while ago when we did the series on the soul man, we talked about what the soul is. The soul is made up of three parts. Do you remember what they are? Mind, will, and emotion. That's a big package right there, folks. Your mind, the way that you think, the way that you process, and I'm a thinker. I'm one that likes to think and think and think and think. But you can also get to the place where emotions can come in. You can go through whatever you just name it in life, and emotions, they can start to, if they get all rocked out of place, God says that He'll come in, He'll restore. He'll restore our soul. Our soul. Our soul is made up of the mind, will, and emotions. And I said that our soul is very powerful. Do you remember that? It's very powerful. And so let me ask this question. Have you ever said or made the statement, man, I was broken. I was just brokenhearted. You know what I mean? My heart breaks or my heart's been broken. Or, you know, that could go anything from a high school crush that you had to something going on in your marriage right now or to something with a business deal, you say, my heart's just broken. Here's what you're saying. You're saying that your soul was broken. And I'm here to tell you that only God can fix that and heal that brokenness that you experience in your life. The reason I say that is because when we experience this brokenness, here's what we tend to do. We go find other sheep and try to get them to fix our brokenness. The other sheep can't fix it. They're broken too. They need the shepherd just as much as you need the shepherd. Go to the shepherd. He restores. Letter C. Write down, how else does he provide? Well, by leading us. He leads. He leads. We should all want to be pleasing to the Lord, and God is the one who leads us. Verse 3 says, he leads me in the paths of what? Righteousness. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Shepherds, they never drive sheep. They lead sheep. You can't drive sheep to do anything. That's like herding a room full of cats. It's impossible. Sheep are undrivable. You must lead sheep. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. Where he leads, we're to follow. And he'll do that. And that's how he provides in our lives, by leading us. So that's how God provides, number one. Number two, when we're talking about the shepherd, he tells us this, that he is our protector. He's our protector. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you know that death is the biggest fear that humans have? It's the biggest fear that humans have. And here's what God did. He took the biggest fear that we have and he annihilated it because he said, you are with me. And I asked AJ to bring this up for me because I want to show it to you. He said in Psalms 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know if you've ever pictured it. Most of us have because we've seen all these pictures of the rod and the staff. This is what a shepherd would use, a shepherd's crook, you know. And it had dual functions, okay? It had, number one, the crook here so that he could get a hold of sheep and he could rein them in, pull them back. He also had the other end of the stick so he could beat the daylights out of the enemy. That's what he used that for, you know. A shepherd would lovingly correct and lead and change, move direction, steer people around. But a good shepherd would also knock the stuffins out of the wolf that would come and try to destroy the sheep. God is called the great shepherd. He's our good shepherd, which means he will lead us and he'll guide us, but he's there to beat the daylights out of the enemy as well. Many times we don't lean into that. We forget and we think he's such a good, good father. He is a good, good father. He's defeated the enemy already. But here's what he says in Psalms 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How is this possible? Letter A, write this down. How is he our protector? Because he is with us in the battle. Because he is with us in the battle. When you are going through a difficult situation, when I am going through a difficult situation, he is right there in the midst of the battle. Verse 4, for you are with me. Why would his rod and his staff comfort us? Well, it would comfort us because this staff here is to lead and to guide the sheep. But you see, he never uses the rod on the sheep in a way of striking them. He doesn't hit the sheep. He hits the wolf. And that's why we can find comfort in the rod and the staff. Why? Because he uses it to protect us. He uses it to protect us in our lives and through all the battles we go through. God may chastise us sometimes. Don't get me wrong. God at times will come along and say, hey, your attitude, it's not flying with me. You need to correct that. Hey, where you're at in the season of life, that's not the best way. Here's what I'd like you to do. Now, you can listen to what God has to say, or you can disregard what he has to say. But there's blessings and consequences that come because of that. And God will correct us, but he's never going to hit us. God hit his son once and for all, for you and for me. Wow. So how can his rod and staff bring comfort? Simply because he uses it, that when we're in the midst of the battle, to lead and to guide us and to beat the enemy. That's how he brings comfort to us. So, the wolf, by the way, is not afraid of the sheep. Did you know that? I've never seen any kind of a picture where a wolf has walked in to a pen of 35 sheep and all 35 ganged up and just whooped the tar out of the wolf. That hasn't happened. Actually, it's been the opposite. The wolf can go into a place where there's 135, and he will totally annihilate them because they're weak, they're scared, they're afraid, they're anxious. What do they need? They need a shepherd that has a rod and a staff that's going to come and protect them and provide for them. So, a wolf is not afraid of the sheep. Let me tell you what the wolf is afraid of. You know what he's afraid of? He's afraid of the shepherd. He's afraid of the shepherd. He's scared to death of the shepherd. You know what that means to you and to me? That means you and I ought to find ourselves very close to the shepherd. We should find ourselves so close to the shepherd that anytime the enemy comes in and tries to attack us, he is going to tremble because he doesn't see us. He sees God's got our back. And because we're so close to him, he is going to flee from the presence of God. So here's what God will do. He will be with you in the battle. Letter B, write down, he will bless you in the battle. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I always wondered about that. Why didn't it just say, you prepare a table before me, period? You know, what's the significance about in the presence of my enemies? And I believe it's simply this. He says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies because I'm not afraid of your enemies. They don't shake me up one bit. You may be anxious and scared, but they don't scare me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to prepare a table in front of all of them and make them watch how I'm going to bless you in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. God will bless you in the battle. Letter C, write this down. Not only does he walk with you in the battle and bless you in it, but he will refresh you in the battle. He will refresh you in the battle. Verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil. Oil is refreshing. Oil is representative of strength. When we talk about God's anointing that he brings, he says he brings in it his presence, regardless of how we feel or what we may think at that point. Let me put it this way. Have you ever come to service and you said, man, I can just feel the anointing. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I can just feel that anointing that's there. I want to tell you this today. If you don't feel it, see it, taste it, smell it, or hear it, it doesn't mean that it's not there. His anointing is still there. It's still present. He says that when he is our shepherd, he says, I will anoint your head with oil, and your cup will overflow. In other words, there will be a blessing in your life that will bring a refreshing to you. You may say, well, I want to feel it right now. It will, as you follow after his leadership. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Maybe you're here today and you've been walking through life and it's time for an oil change. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you here today have a car? How many of you, that car that you have never changed the oil? Never. We got a couple. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I pray to God that car is 1 month old. Because if not, it's not going to last much longer if you don't change the oil. If you have a car that you never change the oil in, here's what happens. I'm by no means a mechanic, so all you mechanics out there, if I say the wrong words, just give me a nice nod and bless his heart, you know. But I know this, if you don't change the oil in your car, over a period of time, that oil is going to break down. It's going to become dark. It's going to become ineffective. The season for the use of that oil is over. But if you don't change the oil, then it's going to start to damage the car, the life expectancy of it. I'm here to tell you that God has an anointing that he places upon us when we place him as the shepherd of our life. But there's seasons in life. And I always love it when people say, oh, this season in my life. I'm a fan of seasons. I identify them. You know, but not all seasons are good, are they? Not all seasons are good. People used to say, well, Lord's moving me into this season. Lord's moving me into that season. And I remember a time when the Lord said, Jim, we're getting ready to go into a season. And I don't even remember what the season was, but it had a good name to it, something like a season of growth. I remember this one. He said, Jim, you're getting ready to move. Personally, this is what the Lord was speaking to me. He says, you're moving into a season of growth. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited. But what I didn't know is all the pain that was going to come with it, all the agony that I was going to go through. I didn't realize that I was going to have to look at myself and go, you're not as smart as you think you are. You don't know everything. As a matter of fact, you're weak in a lot of areas where you say you're strong. Well, God, that doesn't help me. Quit beating me with the rod. No. He didn't beat me with the rod. He's guiding me. And he says, I'm leading you. I beat the enemy. I lead you. You see, some seasons when we go through that, we think, what? Why isn't God on my side? Why don't I understand? Know this, when you're going through battles like that, he will be with you, he will bless you, and he will refresh you. And as much as you need a fresh oil change in your car, those four or five I saw your hands up in the air, There needs to be a fresh anointing for each and every one of us for the seasons that we go through in life. You cannot get through the season God is taking you through or taking you to by going there on the old anointing that he gave you for yesterday. Yesterday's oil change will not work for today's anointing, the direction that he's leading you. We must get to that place where we receive that from him, because that's what refreshes us. So he protects and he provides. Now here, contrary to our thoughts, we cannot, say those two words with me, we cannot, I set you up, now I'm going to tell you what we cannot do. We cannot protect ourselves, nor can we provide for ourselves. Think about that, because I know there's some of you right now that are going, yes, I can. I've been providing for myself since I was 14 years old. You know, I had a job down at, you know, Freddy's Supermarket. You know, I made all my car payments. Okay, you only got that job because Freddy had a market. You only got that job because he decided to hire you. And you only got that job because God opened up those opportunities. You only got the car that you have or the house that you have or whatever it is that you say I provided for me. The only reason you got that is because God put breath in your lungs. He gave you legs that could go and walk where you needed to walk so you could get to that job. Everything you have was given to you provisionally from God. I can protect myself. Man, I know jujitsu and kung fu and three other Chinese words, okay? So I can take care of myself. No, it's not about that. The only reason that you can do what you can do is because God gave you the strength and the drive to learn those things. But I'll tell you what, as strong and as bad as you think you may be, there's always somebody stronger and badder. You can't protect yourself. Ultimately, God is your provider. God is your protector. He is your good shepherd. It's good news that we have a shepherd, amen? So if you're here today and you're saying, I feel weak and feeble and I can never do anything right, buck up, God's your shepherd. If you're here today and you say, I know everything and I can do it all on my own, humble your heart quickly. Because if you don't, he'll humble it for you. A good shepherd does that. He does that too. And sometimes that's hard to hear and it's hard to go through. So it's good news that we have a shepherd. Do you understand how much peace there would be if we knew that we're not protectors and providers? I am not ultimately the protector and the provider. God is. And that can bring a peace, or it should bring a peace to your life and to mine. So he's our protector. He's our provider. And number three, write down, he is our promise. He is our promise. What I mean by that simply is this. He gives us his promise. And his promises are, let me just give you the three real quick. They're up on the screen there. He promises goodness, mercy, and eternal life. He says, I am the shepherd. You shall not lack or be in want of anything. I will protect you and provide for you. And I give you my promises as a guarantee. Verse 6 of Psalms 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, what? Forever. Forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Let me just break down that word follow. I don't want to get all weird about it, but if you were to look at the word follow and look at the Hebrew root word that goes with that, it's a word that I can't even pronounce, so I'm just going to tell you what it means, and it means this, pursue or chase. So let me read it to you now, understanding the word follow that way. It would state it this way. Surely goodness and mercy shall chase me, shall pursue me all the days of my life when he's your shepherd. Please catch this. Goodness and mercy have been chasing you your whole life. If you would just slow down. If you just slow down. Other scripture confirms in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. It's up on the screen there. Let's read this one together. You ready? Go. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Confirms it in his word. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let's read that. Ready? Go. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He talks about his promises. Not only is he our shepherd, though, our shepherd, do you realize, became a sheep for you and for me. What a good shepherd does is he's willing to come where we're at and lay down his life by becoming one of us. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. I'll read that one to you. It says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Ezekiel chapter 34, last one, and then we'll close. Let's read this one together. You ready? Go. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. You know, this morning I was reading over this, because I'm sure you've experienced cloudy and dark days. I'm sure I've experienced cloudy and dark days. What's not in question is, will there be a cloudy or dark day? What the question is will you look for the shepherd in the midst of it? This morning as I was reading over this and just refreshing my heart, my mind, and I got to this part, and it says, as the shepherd seeks out the flock on this day, yada, yada, yada. He goes on and says, I will seek him from all the places when it's on a cloudy and dark day. And just at the moment I read that, the thunder rolled this morning. Did you hear the thunder this morning when it was getting ready to storm? And I just looked out the window, and it was dark, and it was cloudy. I looked back at my notes, looked back out the door, looked back at my notes, and I was like, when it's cloudy and dark, and it seems like there's just no sun shining, and it makes you even wonder, is there really even a sun up there shining at all? Because all I see is the storm. All I hear is the thunder. All I see is the lightning. All I'm experiencing is the rain. His word says that as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will, he says, deliver them from all the places that they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. We have a shepherd that says he will provide, he will protect, and he gives us his promises as a guarantee that goodness and mercy and eternal life will follow us all the days of our life as we make him our shepherd. The question is on the floor, is he your shepherd today? I didn't say, are you saved? I said, is he your shepherd? He may be your Savior today, but he's not your shepherd. He may be your Savior who has saved you from hell and he has redeemed you, but you've not understood this whole understanding about a shepherd that leads and comes and says, I want to guide you in life. There's maybe been times where he's wrapped his loving arms around you and it's felt like the crook and he's been trying to lead you and you've bucked and fought against it and said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to let that go. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to stop remembering. I don't want to do what they say. But God says, no, you don't understand, my son, my daughter. I'm trying to lead you to my promises of goodness and mercy. Maybe today, he's your Savior. But you've not let him be your shepherd. God wants to come and be your shepherd, folks. He wants to lead you. It doesn't matter if you're here today and you're 9 or you're 90 or 190. He's our shepherd. We are his sheep, and we need him in our lives. I want to ask if you bow your heads with me this morning. And I want to ask this question. I ask it quite often, and I'm going to keep on asking it, having heard what the Word of God says about how much we need a shepherd. Would you ask the Holy Spirit this? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? Maybe you're here today and you need him to be your provider. Not provide in such a way that I don't have and I'm just in need. I'm talking about acknowledging him today as your provider. You are who you are, not because of you, but because of him. You need him and to acknowledge him as your provider. Maybe you're here today and you need some restoration. You need him to just restore your soul. Your emotions are out of whack. Life is going crazy. Things are topsy-turvy and upside down, backwards and inside out, and you don't know what to do. His word says, when you make him your shepherd, that he restores your soul. He brings clarity to your mind. Are you in a battle today and you need to know that he's right there with you right now? Maybe it's a refreshing that you need, an anointing for this new season in your life. I want to ask today, I've asked you the question. I'll ask it one more time. Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today? Whatever it is that God is highlighting in your heart, you know it. You know it because it's there. You feel it. Since I started talking on this message, he's identified some things to you. Those things, will you just simply surrender them into the presence of a shepherd who wants to give you the absolute best? Would you trust him with that which is upon your heart, knowing that his promises are promises of goodness and mercy and eternal life? So, Father, I'm going to ask this for every person here today in this room. I believe that you have just ignited, enlightened, you've highlighted and brought up within our hearts areas where maybe we've not been trusting you, maybe areas where we've been more of the shepherd than we've let you be. And Lord, we say for that, please forgive us. And Lord, will you just gently find a way to teach us and remind us that we're the sheep and that we will function in greatness when we follow you as the shepherd. So, Father, I pray for everyone here today that needs restoration. Everyone here today that has had a dark cloud hanging over them. Lord, would you let your sun shine in such a way that even if the clouds don't move, there's just a ray of light that says that you are still reigning supreme above everything else. And Lord, I pray for each and every person here today that where the enemies come in and has attempted to attack them, that in the name of Jesus, that attack must stop now. Lord, I plead your blood over their life. I plead your blood over mine. And I say where the enemy has come in to steal, kill, and destroy, that he must stop now in the name of Jesus. Every plan that he has to bring destruction must fail and falter and humble itself under the mighty hand of God, because Jesus Christ, his name is above all names. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, we thank you for that. And we declare that your goodness, your mercy, your loving kindness is there for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church.